Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our risen and ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God which we meditate upon this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the latter days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Then the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So far our text. Sanctify us by your word, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we have come to the festival of Pentecost, to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to the fulfillment of prophecy, to the gift of tongues and prophecy, to the proclamation of the word that Christ has risen from the dead and your sins are forgiven in his name. On this day, the Holy Spirit was given and the gifts of God were poured out upon the disciples. Unfortunately, there are many who, when they think of Pentecost, think only of the speaking in tongues and the gifts of healing. They think only of the lesser of the gifts, the meanest of the gifts. They are like people who prefer a McDonald's hamburger to a prime T-bone steak, or prefer chicken nuggets to grandma's fried chicken with mashed potatoes and apple pie. We ask that the Lord would open our hearts and our minds so that we may learn and contemplate with the apostles and the Holy Spirit the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the true gifts that he has poured out, not only upon the disciples, but upon all of us. In English, we use the word spirit, which is kind of an empty and meaningless word when compared to the depth and vividness, the picture which the Hebrew and the Greek also portray. In Hebrew, he is ruach. And the word ruach does not mean just spirit, but it means breath. It means wind. It was the breath of God which hovered over the face of the deep from the beginning of creation and gave life to the earth. It was the breath of life which was breathed into Adam and Eve and gave them life. And so throughout the New Old Testament, the Spirit is often closely associated with the wind. When the Lord spoke to Job in chapter 38, he spoke out of a whirlwind. It was a whirlwind which came and took Elijah into heaven, the Spirit of the Lord. When Ezekiel saw the vision of the four living creatures, he says they were born upon the wind, which was the Spirit of the Lord. And perhaps most importantly, it was that same breath, that same wind from God, which took that valley of dry bones and gave them life and caused them to stand and gave them sinews and flesh and gave them the Word of God. In the New Testament also, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. He says in John 3:8, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes." And so it was on Pentecost that the house was filled with the sound of a great and mighty wind. And that was the Ruach, the Spirit of the Lord, announcing His presence to all the Jewish people who would have associated the Spirit with that idea of wind. It was inside the house. It wasn't outside where the wind normally is. It was His calling card, His announcement to everyone gathered there that the prophecy which Joel said had been fulfilled and the Holy Spirit had come upon them. The Spirit of the Lord had come to give life to a dead people. John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." And so the breath of the Lord filled the house to give life to those who sat in darkness. You remember how King Saul, having rejected the Spirit of the Lord, having refused the word of the Lord, lost the Spirit, and his life was nothing but despair and suffering ever after. King Saul found no comfort except some small comfort when David played the harp. But in other words, he was deeply troubled. King David, on the other hand, was filled with the Spirit of the Lord so that even when he was hiding from Saul, even when he was living in caves, even when he was running from place to place, not knowing where he would get food, nevertheless, he always rejoiced in the Lord, for he had that life-giving Spirit. And filled with that Spirit, he wrote so many of the Psalms, which we love and cherish even to this day. Elisha, you will remember, received a double portion of the Spirit. And filled with that Spirit, he raised the dead. He healed Naaman the leper. And he came out of his house and stood without fear, with confidence, before the commander of the armies of Syria and before the armies of Syria, because his eyes were opened by the Spirit to know that the army of the Lord surrounded him, and there was nothing that the commander of Syria could do. The breath of the Lord has come. He has come to give life to the house of Israel and give life to us, even to those who are dry bones, even to those who perhaps have neglected the word of the Lord and the Spirit to the point where their spiritual life has shriveled up and blown away, even to those who are dead in their sin. The Ruach, the Spirit, comes to give life. And after the sound of the great wind filled the house, there came flames, tongues of fire on the heads of the disciples. Fire also was a symbol commonly associated with the Lord throughout the Old Testament. You have, of course, the pillar of fire that announced the presence of the Lord and went before the children of Israel to lead them through the wilderness. And the flaming sword which protected the gate to the Garden of Eden and separated man from God. The chariots of fire that came between Elijah and Elisha just before Elijah was taken up into heaven. And many more, but probably most significantly here, the burning bush. The fire from which the Lord spoke to Moses. And of course, these men, these Jews, these devout men that were gathered to worship the Lord would have probably instantly thought of that story. How the Lord spoke from the fire to Moses. And so the flames of fire on the heads of the apostles was the Spirit's proclamation to everyone gathered that he had come again to speak to the people of Israel, but this time he spoke to them not from a bush, but from the mouth of these men. And the flames of fire were not given to just one man, as it was given to Moses as in old. He was the man chosen, the Lord spoke through him. Nor was it given just to a few of the leaders, but it was given most probably to all the disciples. All that were gathered there, Luke says, were given the gift of the tongues of fire and spoke the word of the Lord. All 120 disciples that we heard about last week. The Lord poured out his Spirit upon them all, and they all went about proclaiming the word of the Lord. The prayer that Moses himself had prayed so many years ago, 1,500 years before. You know, sometimes we get impatient with the Lord because we are praying for something, and it takes him a month or two to answer. Here we have a prayer of Moses that the Lord did not fulfill for 1,500 years. Numbers 11, verse 29. Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them all. And so the Lord did on this day pour out his Spirit upon all his disciples. He gave the word to them and to us. And the Holy Spirit has given the word to us. He's given the word to us through the mouth of apostles and prophets, and through the mouth of pastors and teachers, and through our fathers and our mothers and all those who have gone before us. He has been poured out upon them so that they might share the word with us, but then he has also given the word to us so that we can share it with others. The word of Christ risen from the dead, the word which we heard our choir sing so beautifully this morning, the word of sins forgiven. And Peter calls everyone's attention to this in verses 17 and 18 of our text. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the word of the Lord, and the word went out and was proclaimed. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:18, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Thus we receive both the word of reconciliation and the ministry. Reconciliation means to bring together, to make friends those who once were enemies. And what a wonderful thing it is when two friends or maybe two spouses who have been angry with each other, who have said things and done things that have caused division. What a wonderful thing it is when that hurt and that gap can be healed and forgiven. And those who were angry come back together in peace and love. Except here it's not a friend or a spouse, but it's Jesus himself. That flaming sword we talked about before, which separates us from the presence of God, is removed, and we enter once again into Eden. We have been given this message, this word of reconciliation, and we have been given the ministry, the same flames of fire that were on the heads of the disciples there to signify that they spoke the word of the Lord, are given to us metaphorically so that, because that word is also given so that we might go forth and speak that forgiveness of sins. It is the Spirit who gives life, and it is the Spirit who gives the word, and the word is the word of life. Then after the tongues of fire came the glossia, the speaking in tongues. And this indeed was a wonderful miracle and a very great gift that the Holy Spirit gave to the disciples, but for a deeper reason and for a deeper purpose, and indeed a deeper gift of which this was only a small part. For what the Holy Spirit gave to the disciples was the power, the ability to speak that word. Notice that our text says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They each spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. So he not only gave them the word of forgiveness, he not only gave them the ministry, but he gave them the very words that they were to speak. Consider these 120 disciples. They were not trained as pastors. They were not used to speaking in front of crowds. And all of a sudden, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are told to go and share the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, a number of you came, and we walked in the parade and handed out flyers, and thank all those who participated in that, those who helped get it ready, as well as those who walked in the parade. But imagine if I had given to one of you a megaphone and said, here you go, preach the word as we walk along. Would you have been prepared to just start preaching the word through a megaphone right on the spot there? And yet that's exactly what the Spirit is asking of these disciples. And so he gives them what they need. He doesn't leave them without knowledge. But whatever they lacked, courage, knowledge, ability, the Spirit filled them with what they needed for the proclamation of the gospel. And that included the ability to speak in many different tongues so that they could proclaim that word of forgiveness to all those people who are gathered here. And in your bulletin, you have a map which shows you where all these different people that Luke mentions in Acts, where they came from. And you can see how all over the known world, As far away as what we now call Pakistan, they were coming to Jerusalem and Rome and the northern part of Africa, all over Asia Minor. They all were there. They were all gathered there, and the Lord gave all of them the ability to speak, well, to all the disciples' ability to speak in these languages, so that nothing would hinder the proclamation of the message of Jesus Christ. And so the message was proclaimed. And you notice, too, that the Holy Spirit had not been idle in the time before Pentecost. It's not as if the Holy Spirit was sitting around twiddling his thumbs waiting for Pentecost because now it was his turn to do work. But he had already gathered all these people from all over the world and brought them to the Lord, even though they had not yet heard about Jesus Christ. Luke says, godly men from Crete and from Arab and from Persia and from Libya. That implies that these were proselytes, people who are not born into the Jewish religion, but who heard the word of the Lord and believed. The Holy Spirit had already gathered them together, and now he removes every barrier which might hinder them from hearing the message of Jesus Christ, and he sends them back with that same message so that within 50 days, and that's what Pentecost means. Pentecost means 50 days. 50 days after Easter, Within 50 days of Jesus' resurrection, the word has already been spoken to all these people and goes back to every corner of the known world. The Spirit gives the ministry and the power, the ability to do that ministry. Remember what Jesus promised the apostles? He said, "You will be endued with power from on high." What is power? What does power mean? Power means the ability to get things done, right? If you're the president of the United States, you have power. You have ability to do, well, at least some things. Many more things than I have power to do anyway. Right? If you have a tractor that's very powerful, it has the ability to pull and to accomplish a lot, even through maybe heavy mud. Power means the ability to get the job done. And so the disciples were filled with power from the Holy Spirit, the power to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus was talking about when he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, and it will move. He didn't make that promise so that we could just go around removing mountains. Maybe because we want to farm the land and the mountain's in our way or something. He gave that promise to let us know that nothing would stand in the way of the task that he has given us, the ministry of the message of reconciliation. And so when the languages of the people stood in the way, the Holy Spirit removed it. When the courage of the disciples, or the lack of courage, stood in the way, the Holy Spirit gave them courage. When their inability to know what to say stood in the way, the Holy Spirit gave them the words to speak. And the message of reconciliation, the message of life was preached to every corner of the world. The Spirit gives life. And the Spirit gives the word of life, and the Spirit gives the ministry of the word of life, and the Spirit gives the power, the ability to speak the word of life. And it's the same Spirit which we have been given through baptism, poured out on all flesh, Peter says, not just the apostles, not just the disciples that were there, but to all who call upon the name of the Lord. And so we also have life and ministry and forgiveness and power. And we pray that the prayer of Moses may be accomplished amongst us today and always as well. That all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would pour his Spirit upon them all. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.